B-Pod Studios.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another magnificent week of Checkpoint Daily. On today's show, we're talking about one of the biggest streamers and biggest sports stars in the world, both getting video game skins this week. Also, a Yakuza spinoff might be ending with just its second game because of some agent foolishness. And Final Fantasy XIV is so popular, new people can't even get into the game. And this is not server badness. This is something else. And of course, since it's Monday, it's Marvel Monday. This is Checkpoint Daily.
The latest esports and gaming news. Checkpoint XP Daily has got you covered. Find it online at checkpointxp.com. Get in the game.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Checkpoint Daily, your host Norris Howard here, feeling well. To my left, for what feels like the first time in a very long time.
Yeah, it does.
Once again, Chad Callahan is back.
Yeah, I'm back.
How are you feeling? How was your vacay?
It was nice. It was nice to get away for a while.
What'd you get into again?
We were visiting family in North Carolina.
Oh, okay. I like the Carolinas. This is a nice place. Super nice place. Did you go to the beach or anything?
No, we spent time with family since it was more of a family get-together.
You can spend time with family at the beach?
There's a lot of people, and it would take a lot of cars and effort.
I got it. Oh, so it's like a family reunion type situation.
Pretty much. I mean, there's a bunch of people down there, so we had fun down there and... Yeah, just hung out with fam. We did go to Asheville.
That's nice.
That was a nice place. I recommend it.
I dig it. Robbie.
Sup?
He's here. What'd you get into this weekend?
Went and seen Black Widow, obviously, which, no spoilers or anything, since some people are still probably, finding
it. Yeah, I got to see it this week.
To find it. But also started up a new Dungeons & Dragons campaign on Sundays over on my stream with... everyone's favorite lovable juxtaposition is actually our dungeon master.
I know Juxta the DM is not the Juxta I usually would interface
look,
with.
I have to say, he actually, like, it's been a while since he's DM'd, and he also did it. It was kind of like on a whim sort of thing. He had some stuff going on. He almost canceled it. He's like, no, I want to play. I need like an escape. I was impressed. I was really impressed. Even knowing what he's capable of, he did very, very well. Callie's also in the campaign as well, so it was a lot of fun.
I'm gonna have to check it out because I'm so used to you being a DM that it'd be interesting to see you as a player.
There was a great moment that everyone, because both me and Callie were streaming it. There was a great moment in both chats that everyone like had a good laugh out of because Callie is playing a.
Prostitute.
That doesn't shock me.
As Callie is wont to do.
Her entrance into the campaign was her dancing for us.
Of course.
and my character...
going like, hell yeah.
My character was very, like, embarrassed. Like, very, like, I don't know where to... I don't know where to look now. Especially because when we entered the establishment, I just thought it was a tavern. So... It was a lot of fun.
Got it. Well, my weekend was spent... in the Western Michigan wilderness.
I
would not have expected to find you.
I was out in the woods. We were glamping. It was not regular camping. We had a bed with a mattress, a tent that was about the size of most people's living rooms.
You have limited electricity?
We did have limited electricity. We had, not in the tent. The tent itself didn't have electricity, but...
You had access to it.
Yeah, we had access to it, and it was like a whole campsite. It was really, actually, low-key, really nice. I really, really enjoyed myself and my wife. We went to the beach out in South Haven, Michigan. So it was super nice out there on Lake Michigan.
Weather was fine for you, too?
Weather was perfect.
Excellent.
No rain until about... 11 p.m. the night before we left. So we went to sleep with some nice rainfall on the tent, woke up, and it was time to go. So we had a great time. Chad, you will be happy to know I started watching the Resident Evil Netflix.
I haven't started it. I haven't had an opportunity yet.
I'm going to tell you something. That shit's weird, man. it's not just the content. It's very uncanny valley, but after about 20 minutes, you get kind of used to
get
it.
Get over it? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll say episode 2 started getting strange enough that I was just like, All right, I'll finish
it. I would say, if that's its thing, like, if it maintains that identity through the whole thing, like, cool, great.
I was like, I'll finish it. I just like it because we get in episode two and Leon is already shooting his shot. Like, he's already trying to get on and get something on the floor for, like, when this whole ordeal is over.
All right.
And I'm just like, Leon is my guy, dude, because Chris Redfield would just run around being swole, punching boulders and stuff. Not completely oblivious to anything, you know, any sort of female attention he may be getting. But, yeah, I'm going to finish that up. And also, I was very happy to see England lose the Euros. That was very enjoyable to me. I was sad that, you know, black players missed their penalties, but England deserves nothing nice. So, I'm pretty happy about that. But with all that said, here's what's happening in the world of video games.
So the first thing we have on the docket here is two crossovers with real life into popular games, one of them at least.
Shut up. You play the second
one.
I do,
but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's popular. I mean,
that's a good
point.
Obviously
makes money, but, you know. So the first one we're going to start with is LeBron James and Fortnite.
Hey, listen, I mean, two things that probably should have happened a long time ago.
Yeah, this feels weird because they've been doing basketball players for a while
now.
Well,
it's not just like him, you know, as like a basketball player. I actually believe it's a Space Jam crossover because he actually has three different skins. One of them in his Toon Squad. One of them is like this really cool, like sort of black outfit with like golden, like
it's the King James, skin.
Yeah, they look really, really cool.
I'm loving what Fortnite is doing kind of with their skins lately, outside of just the normal, like with LeBron and stuff like that. They also right now...
It's Ready Player One at this point.
Well, right now even like they're having a little bit of customization.
Mm-hmm.
Because what they're doing with the aliens that you get at the beginning, you can customize your alien and give it different looks at the beginning. So like the first character you get out of the battle pass, you can customize a little bit.
Listen, again, Fortnite's doing stuff every couple weeks, it seems, to make sure that people are still talking about it, still playing it, keeping its relevance. And, I mean, it sort of reminds me of how League really started, where it had this groundswell, and then it ballooned into this huge thing within the gaming community. But the thing that League was never able to do is have that crossover appeal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Fortnite has that crossover appeal. I don't see this game going anywhere anytime soon. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm kind of pissed off because this King James skin is sweet as fuck.
I'm
just not ever going to play this game to get this skin, but it looks real cool.
One of the other things that I like about what Fortnite has been doing, and maybe it's because they've been doing it for so long, but there's an aspect of it to me that feels genuine. Obviously, it's still about its ads. It's about getting people to play, right?
Yeah.
But most people do or have played Fortnite. And, like, I feel like, you know, LeBron isn't out here just being like, oh, you know, big Fortnite fan, loved it forever. This just feels like the right thing. Like, we know what it is.
Yeah.
Right? They're not trying to, and they're not trying to hide like that. Something
different.
Exactly. On the other side of it. I'm sure if you've perused YouTube for any amount of time, you've gotten ads about a game called Raid Shadow Legends.
That's what
you know what? I have, and I've never tried it simply because I lumped it into those fake Chinese, like, game ads where they just show you the guy, like, digging super fast, and then
But it's not actually
Game. That's not the game.
Look, there is actually a game there.
Yeah.
It does have extreme gotcha elements, and when it comes to trying to get you to spend money, they are evil about it. I played the game myself.
But I was about to say, you play it.
I do play it.
You made me play it, so that way you'd get some points or something.
And you didn't. So I didn't get any point. Well, you didn't play it long enough for me to get points.
Oh,
anyway.
I didn't realize I had to continue.
To the headline of the story, Ninja is having a crossover in Raid Shadow Legends. He has his own champion in there, who actually looks pretty cool. He has like this blue like lightning katana.
Everything about him looks cool,
except sweet, like lightning wings, and then you have Ninja's face.
It's
like,
just a pasted face.
On it,
it's just
it looks,
Tyler. Tyler there, and it's for me.
He looks even faker than the other human characters in the game.
That's the part I didn't understand. Is it looks like they just did. You remember back in the day where like NBA 2K and FIFA and stuff would let you do those face scans?
Yep.
So you could put your face in the game, but they never worked properly, so you would end up with like an eye all the way up here.
Yeah.
It just looks like that. It just looks like they took a flat photo and stretched it and spread it over a skeleton.
And what I hate about this, right? I shouldn't care, and I guess part of me doesn't, but also I do, is this announcement was also released with, like, a video of him...
We're talking about
like,
it.
Like, talking about it, doing,
but he's also in, like, ninja...
things.
Yeah, he's also in, like, ninja garb, which is like, please don't do that,
yeah.
Right, Shadow Legends?
And like, the message I feel like it's sending to me is, like, this is the collaboration of a lifetime. This is what we've been waiting. Like, I'm pretty sure that Ninja hasn't played a day, a second of Raid Shadow Legends until that money was deposited into his bank.
And he's like, oh, okay, I'll
try
it.
It's about being, like, the gamer and what we love about it. And it's like, no, man. They're paying you to play this, and when the check clears and your contract is up, you ain't never coming back to this game again.
But you know what?
And again, because of this... kids are going to want to try this game.
Absolutely.
Let me tell you about this game. This is what it's like, right? When you log on, you get three or four pop-ups of, like, stuff you can buy in it.
Yeah.
If you go long enough without buying stuff, they start to reduce the price for you.
Little by little.
Little by little until you finally, like, oh, you know what? That's actually a decent
until
price.
You,
that's
until
affordable.
You break.
And then it starts going up. It's so bad.
Yeah.
It is so predatory. It is some of the most predatory stuff I have ever seen in games before.
But you know what, though? I will ask the question, is that this can't be to you guys the last time we see this, right? You do know in these gotcha style games or any of these mobile games or anything like that, we are going to start seeing streamers and other gaming adjacent personalities as playable characters in games.
I mean, it's not even new, right?
Well, it's not that it's new, but because, like, you know,
Batista was in Gears of War.
Yeah, and you had
that's right.
No, he sure was. You know, you had Keely in Death Stranding.
Yep.
But, like, not as, like, a playable champion. Well, Batista was in Gears, but was he playable?
He was.
I don't play Gears.
He was a playable character in multiplayer.
But yeah, like, you Ninja in a gacha game or making a streamer playable in, like, a MOBA or something like that. It sounds scummy, but it's going to happen more.
You know what? This would be really cool if it was in Genshin Impact, and it was like,
would it?
Well, I mean, I think it would be cooler because
streamer is most likely to be in Genshin Impact?
I don't know off the top of my head.
I don't know. You know, watch the streamers make that call.
Pokimane
would probably.
Genshin Impact? Does she play Genshin Impact?
I don't know. She
doesn't matter. Does Ninja play Raid Shadow Legends?
He does now.
Exactly.
That's my point. Yeah, I guess you could choose anyone. They'll play it.
Doesn't matter. If I was a streamer and somebody put me in a video game, I'm playing a video game.
I feel like, you know, I'd rather have a celebrity over a streamer.
I would prefer it be a game that I actually
aren't
like
celebrity
to play,
streamers? Aren't streamers celebrities?
They are the streamer. They are the celebrities of today.
All right,
is it not the same?
I'd rather have movie stars. Let me rephrase.
You'd rather have Hollywood celebrities.
I'd rather have Hollywood celebrities more so than
you would rather play
skinny,
as Tom Cruise than
kids.
Asmund Gold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Like, I don't want, like, someone who looks like they've
I don't
been
know
in the
about that
all day.
One. I don't know about that one, right?
Maybe not Tom. Well, I mean, guess it depends on the Tom Cruise. Like, if
you'd rather have Chris Evans over Asmund Gold.
There you go. All right.
I was about to say Tom Hanks.
There you go.
I would totally do Tom Hanks in
a
game.
Yeah. But anyway, this is. I don't know if it's gonna work, but hey, Robbie, go play as Ninja.
I'll let you know when I get.
Let me know.
Game.
Let me know. Let me know if he's like busted tier, like he was like actually really great.
Will do. In other news, the popular spinoff to the Yakuza series, Judgment, has obviously a new game coming out soon, Lost Judgment, but it seems like the series is going to be ending over a PC version disagreement. Takuya Kimura's talent agency, he's the guy who portrays
the main character,
the main antagonist, yeah. Or the main protagonist. It seems like they're not very enthusiastic about computers or the idea of putting their talents
Wait,
likeness
stop.
On the internet.
They are not enthusiastic about computers.
Yeah. Yeah. So the original Judgment game was on all the consoles.
Yes.
It eventually got ported to PC.
Yeah.
But it seems, according to Kotaku, that they maybe didn't understand exactly what they were agreeing to when they agreed to have it ported. They don't want Lost Judgment on PC because, look, you may make fun of it, but like when it comes to a lot of their talent agencies, they're not allowed to have social media profiles, right?
Mm-hmm.
The whole idea of, like, you know, putting yourself out there on the internet and then not having
control.
Yes,
in Japan and in Korea specifically, they have very... for idols and pop idols and actors and stuff to have very stringent rules about not being available. You mm-hmm. want to appear very distant.
Yeah, it says, so obviously Sega says that PC is a very vital part of their business point
Absolutely.
Of view. And for Johnny's, which is the talent agency, Kotaku says, which still hasn't quite fully embraced the internet like others in the music business, releasing a game directly online through a PC platform could be problematic for their business model. And because of this disagreement, it's being reported that Last Judgment could be the last in the series.
So
this is the dumbest thing I have ever heard.
What about if the game was on Game Pass, which technically would
be an
Xbox game?
Here's the thing. The reason that I think they were able to port it is it was originally released on Stadia, mm-hmm. which this talent agency might not have realized was
essentially a cloud platform which could be played everywhere.
Right. So, now, Kimura, who is a huge star in Japan and loves doing this, loves video games, loves being this character, there may still be a chance that they could be sort of like that bridge between the two of them.
Figure it out.
But as of right now, it's not looking too good.
It's weird because they're going to run out of time in the video game world if they're going to be like, no PC. Because as we see with Xbox and PlayStation, probably right around the corner, Nintendo, and maybe they'll work with Nintendo because they'll never go to PC. But those two will always have some type of PC integration, or at least
PlayStation has finally come around and said a lot of their stuff is finally about to get ported over to PC.
What are they thinking that they're never going to have?
Because they're not
thinking of the gaming industry. They're just thinking about it from their point of view.
Well, they're going to stop making money.
I agree with you, Chad. And the thing about
an idol agency. They're never going to run out of
money.
Start going other places because they can't do video games.
They are the biggest agency in Japan.
I've seen the biggest giants fall, Robbie.
I mean, listen, here's how I feel about it. I don't necessarily think that this talent agency will collapse or anything like that. But this is a stupid hill to die on.
Yeah.
Is my point. Yeah. Is that this is a really dumb thing to be this upset about to the point where you will cancel a series to not allow something to be on PC. And by the way, this is not saying like, oh, he now has to go make a Twitter profile. This is not that. It's literally we just don't like PC because PCs are open source and people can do stuff on PCs. It's just dumb. It just reeks of a bunch of old weirdos.
They want to control the power that they have through owning the likeness of their artist.
Yes. Which, by the way, they own your likeness. I told you, it operates completely different over there. They own his likeness. So, I mean, you know, they technically do have a legal right to say he can and can't appear over certain places. But this is just stupid. It's short-sighted. It's weird. It's very much so, like, I'm unsettled by a group of people being able to say, you can't be on PC because you signed a contract.
Because we own your face and we don't want anybody else to play with it.
What are they thinking people are going to, like, mod? You know what they're probably afraid of? They're probably afraid that people will go to PC and, like, put mods on this and, like, you know, being able to have, like, you know, a nude mod or something like that. Again, these are things that they get very concerned about in East Asia when it comes to movie stars and pop idols. So, I don't know, but Japan, stop being weird, man.
Yeah.
Stop being weird.
Another news, Final Fantasy XIV continues to soar, seeing one of the biggest surges probably in its history, as they have gotten to the point where they have ran out of digital download codes.
Huh. All right.
This is the best problem to have, by the way.
I mean, it's a good...
Listen, let me explain something to you. Nintendo has proved to us that artificial scarcity is a great problem to have.
I guess my question is it because they had a set amount that they just had ready, and now that's limit, and now they just have to create
more? Digital codes are not generated until the moment you hit purchase.
Okay, so...
So the thing is...
So how do you run out of something that you don't have a finite amount of?
So the thing is, right, is what I'm reading according to the report, right, is that the servers, they might actually be slowing down your access to the game because the server load
it's
now
overloaded.
Too crazy. And by the way, anybody who's played an MMO at launch understands how server load can be stupid, frustrating, terrible, all that. This would be triple frustrating because there is nothing happening in this game special right now. We're in between expansions.
It's actually, and it's what should be its deadest
time. It should be its deadest time right now. Because it's in between. It's the months between expansions. I believe the last content patch comes out in like a month. So nothing is happening in this game.
Well, didn't
there's
the
no
the biggest...
seasonal. There's no seasonal event happening right now.
The only thing
right
I can
now.
Think of is a couple of the biggest WoW players started playing.
Well,
it.
Even before Asmongold started playing, yeah. Final Fantasy XIV was already seeing a
well,
huge
yeah.
surge.
But I think
that was one of the reasons that I think. You know,
pushed him
to go and try it.
Obviously,
on top of the fact that WoW was
yeah,
also
because
according
dead to
right
according
now.
To this report also by Kotaku, it says that earlier this month, or excuse me, PC Games In noted that the all time record for concurrent players of FF14 on Steam was broken earlier this month.
Just Steam. Wow.
So I mean, there's an interesting thing happening right now with Final Fantasy 14 and WoW, because consistently everybody is just assuming WoW will be at the top of the pile because of WoW. But there's a lot of stuff going on with this game that us here in Checkpoint have a very unique relationship with in general. I want to talk about this because, Robbie, you brought up something very interesting that a lot of people may or may not know about, is that one of the largest WoW streamers in chat, you said as well, Asmongold, moved over to Final Fantasy 14. He's currently playing it right now, one of the biggest WoW streamers in the world.
100,000-plus viewers watching
100,000-plus viewers watching him on a daily basis. A guy who has spent many months trashing 14 is now playing 14. And you know what? Maybe tomorrow we'll pick this conversation up, because I want to explore this.
There's a deeper convo here.
There's a deeper conversation here, and I want to explore this. But yeah, in terms of digital codes, I really think this is Square just saying like let's chill for a minute and also create a little bit of scarcity, make it so it's like, ooh man, can I even get into the free trial now? I don't know. Ooh.
I don't remember if I bought the game or if I just had the free trial. I don't know.
Maybe if you had it years ago, chances are you bought it.
I might.
Chances are you bought it. Because the free trial, I think, thing only started since Shadowbringers has come out.
Okay. I'll have to look.
So, yeah. Anyway, that's going to be it for part one. In part two, we'll be talking a little bit about Marvel Monday, talking about the latest Loki episode, as well as the trailer for the What If series. I'm very excited about that as well. So we got more coming up on Checkpoint Daily.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Share your thoughts on socials with us at Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter. You could even be featured on tomorrow's show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Checkpoint Daily. Your host, Norris Howard, here alongside Chad Callahan and Robbie Landis. Anyway, Robbie Landis, we hope you guys are feeling great out there and enjoying your summer. Don't forget to go over to our website, checkpointxp.com. And also, don't forget to follow us on all of our social medias at Checkpoint XP. That's Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. Now, Marvel Monday. It is very Monday. We're not going to talk about Black Widow because all of us haven't seen it yet. So, Robbie, please hold on. Hold on.
No, I'm good.
Hold on. I'm going to watch it this weekend. I almost went to go watch it when I was in it. If you are unfamiliar with South Haven, Michigan, it's a very sleepy, small beach town. And they have one of them old school theaters, you know, with the lights and stuff.
Yeah.
And it looks so cute. And I was like, oh, we should go to a movie, like, if we have time. And my wife was like, oh, that would be cool. What were you going to see? I was like, let's see Fast. And she was like, okay, we can see that. Let's see what else is out. And I forgot Black Widow came out. And she straight up was like, I mean, is Scarlett Johansson in a skin-tight leather suit.
Smashing the patriarchy.
We should probably... She looked at me and said, we should probably go see that. And I was like, word. But none of the Showtimes jived with our schedule, so it kind of sucked. But there's an episode of Loki over the past week. Chad, are you caught up?
Yes, I had to watch it last night.
All right, thank you very much for getting caught up.
That doesn't say it all for really? Norris.
Okay, I'm still torn on whether I like this or not.
Look, I'll start. All right. I'm at the point now, Loki's an okay show. Is it? Look, it's not the worst comic book show that is out there that has reserved for the CW verse.
And
several of the Fox shows that have been on Hulu.
Very true.
I promise you, Norris, Loki is an okay show. But it has definitely not lived up to the standards that have been set for us by WandaVision and by Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
I feel like if this would have been
Captain America and the Winter Soldier.
Yeah. Yes. If this would have been the first show, I'd have been more okay with it.
Sure, because there's no expectations.
There's no expectations.
It.
But now that I'm watching this show, and I'm still, number one, I'm still waiting for the other shoe to drop.
I don't think it's going to.
The other shoe just ain't going to drop.
Not in a fulfilling way.
So, bad writing.
Yes, I agree.
If you're going to have a show, it needs to have beginning, middle, end, and have some sort of resolution. This is the same reason why people hated the Game of Thrones final season, is because it felt like every loose end had to be tied up in 30 seconds, and it fucking sucked.
But here's the thing. I don't even, like, there aren't even necessarily loose ends in Loki. Yes, there are!
We're going into the final episode and still don't know who the fuck is doing any of this.
Because I don't... Doing what? Doing what?
Yeah, that's the problem.
That's the point, though.
That's the biggest thing.
When Loki is done with, and it, let's say it births the multiverse, okay, that was literally all this show was set to do, was make the multiverse. You could have done that with any number of characters that could have used more backstory and development than Loki, who has already had a good and fulfilling character arc in the movies.
Yeah.
There was no reason... I'm sorry. There was no reason to bring Loki back. Everything that has happened in the show feels completely unearned. It feels like from episode to episode, the one thing that the writers were asking...
That's a good word. Unearned.
Unearned. What the writers were asking themselves... is what can we put here that will make everybody go, oh my God, and tune in next time that we cannot follow up on whatsoever and just move on to the next thing?
I mean, even like, okay, so in this episode, we get, you know, the episode previous, we got the cliffhanger that when you get pruned, you basically just go to a limbo.
The void.
Type area at the end of time.
You can't actually destroy matter.
That's right. You can
you
only
send it
transfer
to the void, where then there is something that can actually destroy matter.
So stupid. Anyway.
I guess I just don't understand why. What are they saying that these people can't destroy matter?
No. That is a fundamental law.
Matter can't be destroyed. It can only be changed.
Of physics.
But you could die. So.
No, when you die, your matter doesn't go anywhere.
No, but I just don't understand.
Decompose.
Yes. So, why prune someone alive and send them to this other world instead of killing them and then sending them to the other world?
Because it's not just about killing the variants. You also have to stop the Nexus event, which is pruning the timeline. So, look, I actually like the idea, the concept that all of these timelines that they've pruned aren't destroyed. They just all go to the same spot.
They all go to the same spot.
It's actually, a lot of time travel shows have tried to do this to terrible effect. Legends of Tomorrow, quote unquote, broke time at one point. So all timelines consisted simultaneously, which was stupid. This idea that as you prune the timelines, they all get pushed to the end of time and exist
into
simultaneously.
Into a chaotic mass at the end of time.
That's actually okay, but then they're like, but hold on, we want this to be a wasteland, so also there's a giant cloud dinosaur that can actually destroy things.
Yeah, and the part that also, again, to go back to your word, Robbie, of unearned, we get this reveal that there's just a ton of Lokis there because in episode, two, they told us that Lokis are the most...
Common variant.
So we get to the end of time and we see Loki's fighting a bunch of other Lokis, which, by the way, is so stupid because it goes against the very nature of Loki. Loki would try to not be in that area. He wouldn't just try to take it over. Loki is not interested in being the King of Ashes. That has never been his thing. Well, that has never been his MO of just going somewhere and be, guess I'll be the king of this now. He's never done that.
But on paper, the idea of a bunch of Lokis fighting is a cool
idea. And then we get it for 30 seconds and we never revisit it again.
And it means nothing. It means nothing, just like everything else in this show. Like, all right, Loki and Sylvie are in love now,
that
right?
That's weird to me, but all right.
Exactly. Unearned.
No, right. Okay, unearned. And Robbie, last week when we talked about this very briefly, we had a discussion. And here's the one thing, conclusion I came to, is that this show, outside of creating a timeline, is supposed to show us some sort of maturation of Loki, right? We're supposed to see that he's somehow a better person after all this, right? Because that is how writing is supposed to go. But
and you have to give us something we haven't seen to bringing so Loki naturally, back worth it.
So naturally, we get, oh, wow, look, Loki cares for somebody.
But why?
But it's just a version of himself, so technically it's the most Loki thing he could possibly do.
To be fair, the whole, I think there's another thing that I think they're pushing in this, and it's really heavily emphasized when he gives him the time loop, when he's put in there by Mobius. And it's loving yourself.
With Sif.
With Sif. And it's that whole loving yourself. And I think that's the point of the loving Loki thing, but I still think it's a little weird.
Here's the issue, right? First of all, the best moment in this entire series was in episode one when he's forced to confront what his future is and all the pain that he's caused.
Dude, we never fucking go back to it.
And we never go back to it. The entire show should have been focused through that lens, right? He should not have been put into a memory with fucking Sif. He should have been put into a moment with Thor where he has a chance to reconcile with his brother. When Kid Loki said, hey, yeah, my Nexus event, I killed Thor. That was a perfect setup for Loki to have some sort of development.
To be like, shit, or I actually don't want to kill my brother.
Something. Yeah. Something should have happened there instead of just being like, oh, okay, let's go on and have funny stuff. Everything that's happened in this show just happens because they say that it's happened.
Yeah.
Loki's in love with Sylvie. Oh, okay, we didn't see that.
Why? But because we said it.
Yes. Loki's
trusting it created a Nexus event. Why? How?
Yeah. Loki's changed
now. Why does that matter?
He's a good person because we said he's changed.
Oh, by the way, Loki can throw buildings to the wayside but struggle in hand-to-hand combat with normal motherfuckers.
It just felt weird that he is literally the first enemy in Avengers. If you think about this, he's literally went against all the Avengers, yet he can't fight normal people.
He's been a man that's been thrown side to side by the Incredible Hulk and survived.
Yeah. But fights against his brother, God of Thunder.
But normal dudes struggle.
That's the struggle I have with the show.
It's stupid. It's so stupid.
It made sense when they stripped his powers, and I was like, I'm willing to forgive that. Yeah,
when you're in the TVA, you're just a normal dude.
That made sense to me. I was like, okay, this is how they're going to get around all that. But he's was in the TVA for all of two episodes, and now he's out in the real world and learning that, oh, I'm stronger than I thought I was because we can make all these buildings an old version of me can do. It's like, what are you trying to tell me?
I don't know if this is a hot take, but honestly, I don't think there should have been any actual fighting in Loki unless you were in the TVA because you don't have powers. But outside of that, Loki should never have to fight someone.
It should be outsmarting them, which is funny because he even says that there. He's like, we should be out there. You know, we're always one step ahead, but it felt like he was never ahead at all in this entire show.
Now, unfortunately, I'm also afraid, too, that this whole trend is going to continue into the final episode. I think, Norris, you know, we talked about it. It's up to you if you want to mention what you think it is. I think that you are 100% right.
Oh, yeah,
who's going to be in that castle.
Yeah, so, okay.
It's going to be 100% unfulfilling.
It's going to be the most
me.
Unsatisfying thing because it is such a deep Marvel cut. So, those out there who may or may not, and I'm going to just say this because it's a theory and it could be disproven, is that what we're going to see is some version of Kang the Conqueror. Now, we do know that Kang the Conqueror is very much so a time wonkiness villain.
You actually think we'll
in
see
the Marvel universe?
Kang in the...
I think we'll see a version of Kang, but he himself will only be alluded to. What we will see is a version of Ravonna Renslayer.
Yes.
Now, if you pay attention, Renslayer is like the lady at the TVA,
the judge lady
who's in charge of stuff. But Renslayer is also a former lover of Kang the Conqueror. And what she was a princess, and Kang came in to take over her kingdom back in the Dark Ages. And she was like, I'm not rocking with you. You're terrible. You suck. You came and took over my kingdom and killed all the people I know and love. And I guess over time they ended up liking each other
Stockholm.
And whatever. The Stockholm Syndrome, exactly. But I think because everybody in the TVA is a variant, Renslayer, that's what I'm going to call it.
Yeah.
The Renslayer we know is just a variant of mm-hmm. that one that they are going to that castle to see.
Who's quote-unquote behind
Who's quote-unquote yeah. behind She's... everything because she is trying to secure a timeline or a pocket in time in which either Kang never takes over her kingdom or her and Kang can always be together. It's one of those things.
Yep.
That's what it is.
No, here's the thing, because if it wasn't going to be Renslayer, there's no reason for Mobius to go back to the TVA. There's no reason for Renslayer to care also what's at the end of it. They are definitely setting this up for that variant to meet herself in some way.
And by the way, more deep Marvel cuts, Kang the Conqueror is also heavily related to Black Knight, who will be introduced in the Eternals. Coming up, played by Kit Harington.
Kang is he's also a Richards, isn't he?
A version of Kang is the Richards. I actually think he's a version of Franklin.
Nathaniel Richards.
Renslayer's actions.
That's terrible.
They don't make sense. Terrible motivation.
Because I get that she wants to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you betray the one person who's actively made it possible to do so?
Bad writing.
And then capture the other person and have this weird dialogue back and forth.
Bad writing.
It just didn't make sense. And then,
no, it doesn't.
I don't know. And she didn't seem shocked that
the timekeepers
were fake. Because I truly believe she thought they were real. So just her character is
I'm telling you, it's because it's really... First of all, I'll acknowledge it's really hard and difficult to write a villain who is a villain throughout your series unbeknownst to both them and you. It's hard to do that. It's hard to write somebody...
Who doesn't know that they're the antagonist. Or doesn't believe they're
it's
the antagonist.
It's really hard to do that, right?
Yeah, but you... The motive can drive that, and I don't feel like the motive
does. Right, and that's the problem, is that the motive has been non-existent until now. Renslayer's motive has been keep the timeline intact.
Toe the company line.
Toe the company, exactly. If we're going to break it all the way down.
But toe the company line can't then line up with, but I want to know who's behind it.
Right. Because there hasn't been enough time for the cognitive dissonance. Hasn't been enough time for her to see her world deconstruct.
But even at that point, even for that to happen, that's what happened to Mobius. And I think what they wanted to do is they didn't want both Mobius and Renslayer to have the flip.
Well, they want to be at odds.
So they wanted Renslayer to also want to know what's behind it, but also toe the company line. But those two things are odd.
They don't jive.
And the only good character in this entire series, Mobius. He had the best.
I disagree.
Kind of. I think. 100%.
I disagree.
Who do you think? I'll put it this way.
I'll put it this way. I think Mobius, to your point, has the most complete character arc.
Yeah.
I think he's the one that goes from skeptical company man to questioning to I am against this to let me actively help the opposition. That is a complete character arc.
Yeah.
So I agree with you from a writing perspective. I think yes, he's the most complete character. For who do I enjoy watching on the screen the most? Crocodile Loki.
Yep.
Alligator Loki.
And Sylvie. And the reason why I say Sylvie is simply because she's a change of pace. She's not Tom Hiddleston. She's Loki, but she's not Tom Hiddleston.
No, that's fair, because I do prefer Sylvie as well, but I will agree with you, Chad, that Mobius is the best written character.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sylvie is all from the performance.
Sylvie was something to give, I think, the fans, because I don't really see the point of her character outside of making Loki feel like
of plot hooks.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely.
So that's why I can't like her because she's just a character.
No, as a plot device, terrible.
Yeah, and it's criminal too because she had so much more to offer as well. I still think probably one of the worst things of this show is the fact that her backstory was given 10 seconds of what we could have figured out ourselves.
Yeah. I would have much preferred if she was more of a teacher to the new Loki or old Loki. And that would have been like,
I'd prefer if they spent a longer time being against each other.
Oh, 100%. Instead of just being like, we have to help each other.
No, I mean, a perfect example.
Exploring her backstory. Everything she's done is fine, but we needed to know more about what got her there besides the TV.
Because, like, for me,
ruined my life.
But there's a perfect moment in, I believe, the third episode where they decided to go away that started to ruin the show. Is that there's a moment where they're on that planet and the moon and other planet is crashing down. Yeah. And she's walking away from her and she's like screams and everything around her just kind of like explodes a little bit. And it was at that moment that I was just like, they should really make her go off the deep end right here. This should be it. Like, this should be the moment where she's like, I tried to work with you, but you fucked that up. So I'm out of here. But instead, they chose to go the other route, which was to make her a love interest, which was so dumb. But that was the moment because he goes over and they sit down and he goes, did the scream make you feel better? And it's like, come on, man. Like, you are two infinitely powerful people. You guys shouldn't be sitting around acting like that. Like, that's the whole thing with me that I hate.
If they would have followed that line of thinking where she starts going over the end, gets to the point where she's nearly ready to kill him, but maybe can't go through with him. This is how you always tie it back to what happened in the first episode. Yeah. If he comes face to face with the fact that, crap, like, it almost happened. Like, I almost died again because of what I'm doing.
Because of what I'm doing.
Instead, he apparently changes when Sif kicks him in the balls a bunch of times.
You know what she should have done? She should have went into his memories and fucked with him. That would have been a whole episode.
Who knows?
I would have been like,
we don't know if she can enchant another Loki.
Remember, she tried, but his mind is a fortress.
I wish that the
I don't know. It doesn't matter. There's a lot of, you know, coulda, shoulda, woulda.
Either way, I will say this: if we do get a Renslayer, a real Renslayer reveal or a Kang reveal, that just makes me more excited for Eternals. Look, to be perfectly honest,
a Kang reveal I might be okay with. Yeah. But if it's just Renslayer at the end,
I'd be lit though because I can't wait to watch Eternals. Like, that is the one Marvel I'm seeing that day one. Mm-hmm. And if you get, especially, dude, because Black Knight's cool, man.
The reason why I don't think we'll see Kang is because he wasn't even, we didn't even know who was playing him until he was cast in Ant-Man. If he was cast prior to that, we'd have known.
Yeah, but anyway, also very quickly, What If got a trailer, which, by the way, already looks like probably the best Marvel TV show of all of them.
The best thing Loki's going to give us is the multiverse, which gives us the What Ifs.
I can't wait. I like this. Because, I mean, we're touching on a whole bunch of crazy stuff. They're talking about What If T'Challa was taken up instead of Peter Quill and became Star-Lord.
What if Killmonger showed up in Iron Man 1 and just yeeted away that rocket?
Yeah, what if Peggy becomes Captain Britain.
Captain Britain,
is that what it was?
Basically takes the super soldier
takes
formula.
Takes the super serum and becomes Captain Britain.
We're getting a zombie Marvel star.
Yes!
That was the one I was
Marvel
bring
zombies,
up.
Dude! That's gonna be so cool! God. Like, it's gonna be great. It's voiced by Jeffrey Wright, who is also listed as Utau, the Watcher. Mm-hmm. So, again, Chad, deep Marvel cut, big-headed blue dude.
I've seen that.
Anyway, I'm excited for this. And again, all of this leads into a film like The Eternals, where that is going to be, it's going to be like the first Avengers film, where we're going to be able to kind of tie all these weird sort of threads together.
Ooh, I don't know that I would put your apples in that basket.
No, because here's why I think, I'm not necessarily saying it becomes an Avengers level crossover where everything spawns from that. I'm saying because they have been around for so long, that they're going to be able to then make sense of some of the things that have happened.
We will definitely get big lore dumps through the Eternals that will set up a lot of stuff going forward. But if you want to talk about like what we've recently been seeing finally converging, I don't think that'll happen until Doctor Strange.
Not till later. But I'm really excited for the What If series. And by the way, we said it. Every month we getting some from Disney Plus. Every month, heretofore. Mm-hmm. They will have some new shit out. So they did it. I'll just put it out there. They did it. So that's going to be it for this episode of Checkpoint Daily. We will be back here tomorrow, so make sure you guys are tuned in for that. And you know what? Let us know what you think about some of these opinions on social media, because we always love to grab you guys' opinions, and we want to put more of them here on the Checkpoint Daily show. So if you have a thought that you want to share, a topic you would love for us to talk about, make sure you share it with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or TikTok. So for Chad Callahan and Robbie Landis, I'm your host, Norris Howard, and we'll see y'all tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.